Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are absolutely live today, and this is a broadcast that's designed to get your questions that may be the result of things that you've heard or maybe something that someone's taught you, that you're curious whether or not these things are actually in the Word of God. If we can get those questions and we are able to go to the Scriptures and see what God says, that's going to be a help to you, and that's going to be a help to us, and help to all of our listeners who may actually have the same question. And so we encourage you today to call in your questions, and our goal is to only let the Bible speak. 308-9564 is the number to call here at the station, 308-9564, and we will go to God's Word to find out the answer to your question. Now, there are sometimes questions come in that we do not have a Bible answer. And so in those situations, we do our best just to point out that the Bible doesn't say anything on that particular situation. Now, sometimes there are principles of Scriptures that we can appeal to. And so we'll go to those principles, we'll go to those passages, and look at those passages to see how it might apply to the specific situation that you have a question about. Again, our focus is to try to find the answer inside of God's Word. That's our intent. And so if you have a question today, maybe there's something that's been on your mind. Maybe there's something that you heard today during your worship service. Maybe there's something that mama or daddy has taught you a long time ago, and it just didn't feel right. You're curious whether or not, is this really what God's Word says? We encourage you right now to go ahead and call in your question to 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. And we will do our best, our very best, to just try to stick within the boundaries of God's Word and let the Bible speak.
308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Please go ahead and take advantage of this opportunity to call in your questions, and we will let the Bible speak. We will go straight to God's words to get the answers to the questions that are on your heart. We have a text line available. The text line that is available, the number is area code 843-725-9283. Once again, that's 843-725-9283. You can text in your questions if you would prefer to do that rather than calling into the station. We encourage you to do that. We also encourage you to sign up for a Bible correspondence course that we offer every 15 minutes on the breaks. It is absolutely free. It will never cost you a dime. We do not charge anything whatsoever. It is our desire and privilege to just serve you and help you to grow and learn more of God's Word and be able to better apply it to our lives in our walks with God, because that is and should be our desire, to consistently just grow in the Word of God and apply it to our lives better and better. So the Bible Correspondence Course can help you with that. Please go ahead and take advantage of that call and set up that to receive that in the mail at 553-5157. 553-5157. You can call and you can get set up to receive that correspondence course. Also, which we really would appreciate, if you have a desire to have an in-home Bible study, or if you would desire to have a Let the Bible Speak in your home where you can ask the question, you can invite who you want, and you can be able to have that in your home or wherever place you would allow to be more comfortable to meet at, we are absolutely privileged. We would love to do that, because that's one of the main things that we like to do. We like to get in front of people. When you look through the God's Word, you see examples of people being taught the Scriptures. There were people that God sent to teach them. It was a face-to-face type teaching. And so that's what we like to do. We want to get in front of you. So if you want to do that, and when you call 553-5157, when you leave your information, also mention that you are interested in a face-to-face meeting, a in-home Bible study. Please mention that, and we would be delighted to do that. We really would. But while we are waiting for the questions to pile in here, please go ahead and call in your questions. Answers that we will be giving you will be strictly book, chapter, verse. Like Nick said, if not, then we will try to appeal to a principle that would apply to that situation. Our earnest desire is only to let the Bible speak. So please go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
I'd like to take this time also make mention that over the last couple of weeks, we've been offering a list of questions that we've been encouraging our listeners to take and ask their preacher. In fact, that's the name, the title we have on the list of questions, Ask Your Preacher. And here are questions that maybe you've heard different things about, or maybe what is we find in the scripture is not necessarily taught on commonly. And so that's why we're encouraging this. We give you this list of questions. We have the scriptures out to the side. And so you can go do the research for yourself. That's what's important. You getting into God's word, you seeing it for yourself, you having a faith in the word of God and seeing what God's answer is. And then go ask your preacher to make sure that what you see in the Bible is what's being taught. You cannot afford to entrust your faith to anyone. You cannot afford to entrust your faith to any man. You know, on one occasion, Jesus said, what does it profit a man? Though he gains the whole world, yet loses soul. In that instance, what he tells us is that man's soul is his most precious possession. And that, you know, we don't want to trade that for anything, nor do we want to give our soul or the control of our soul to man. But rather, we want to commit our soul to God, the one that loves us, the one that loves us so much that he was willing to give his son to die, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when we're entrusting our souls to God, then we're prepared to ask, yes, sometimes even the tough questions, because we want to make sure that at the end of the day, we are doing what God wants us to do. If you are interested in this list of questions, you can call that same number that was mentioned earlier, 553-5157. That's 553-5157. Make mention that you would like the Ask Your Preacher list of questions. If you just leave that on the recording and give us your address, we will send that to you. So if that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and call 553-5157. Let me also make mention that everything that we offer is free. We do not seek any praise or any honor. We don't want any money. The goal is simply to provide you with as much material and information from God's word that we can free of charge, that it may help you as you continue your journey as a student of the scriptures. And so as you continue to study God's word, if there are tools that we have available, we want to make that available to you free of charge. And so there are no strings attached. The overall goal is to give you what you need or to help you in your study of God's word. To join us right now here at the station with your questions, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number here at the station, 308-9564. Now feel free to take advantage of our website. We have a website, www.BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com, where we have other free materials, resources to help you in your study of God's word. You can also use that website to text in questions. So if in the event you feel better, texting from the website, you can do that. If you have loved ones that are in other areas and you want them to listen to the broadcast, well, they can go to that website and they can access a link to be able to listen to the broadcast, as well as be able to text in their questions, even if they're in another state. And so that's available to you as well. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. You know, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so the intent is for you to hear, for me to hear, for all of us to hear the word of God so that we can see what God says, so that we can have a faith in God, so that we can respond to God, and that be the overriding motivating factor in our lives. That's our encouragement this day. So as you hear the scriptures that we give, we encourage you to make sure you're looking them up or you're writing them down as you have opportunity. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have the text question and our first texter of the day. We appreciate it. And their question asks, what is meant by the fivefold ministry? And then they also have a second question asking about why do people dress in white garments to be baptized? I'll answer the first question first, and then after our break, we will answer the second question. So the first question about fivefold ministry, first I need to make mention that the term fivefold ministry is nowhere to be found in the Word of God. You cannot find the phrase fivefold ministry. Now, it is a popular teaching today, and it comes from a certain passage in Ephesians chapter 4. But once again, it does not call it the fivefold ministry. That's not a name that God gave it. That is a name that man has given it. So let's first be aware of that. Secondly, the verse that it's taken from, I believe, is Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the ministry, word ministry just means service. And it says for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to build up. And the body of Christ is the church, his church. And in chapter 4, when the first part of chapter 4, in verse 4, it talks about there's one body. Well, that one body is the one church. And that is the church that Jesus Christ built in Matthew 16, where he said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And also in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 21, it talks about to him, talking about Christ, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. To him was meaning to God. To God be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So the church is Christ's body. The church belongs to Christ. It is Christ's church. And there is only one body of Christ. So there is only one church, his group of believers there. And so this term used, the fivefold ministry, used to describe those five roles that people would play as far as being apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so that's where this comes from, as far as where the teaching comes from. But once again, it's not a name that God gave it. It's not a ministry specifically that God gave it, but it's something that man kind of created the name of it and applied it to this passage. And so we see that there. And like I said, we will answer the second part of this person's question after our break. It is time for us to go to our first break. But even while we're at break, we're going to tell you about the Bible Correspondence Course, which we greatly encourage you to sign up for. And also, once again, if you have the desire that we will be able to meet together and face to face and have a Let the Bible Speak in your home or wherever you would have, where you can invite whoever you would like. Well, we want to meet you face to face. We want to be able to teach you God's word and do that in person. So we would encourage you to let that be known on the message when you leave it at the appointed time if you were to sign up for the course or dial that number. So we're going to tell you about that. But please go ahead and call in your question, even if you have questions right now. It will be able to be brought into us, 308-9564. 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live. Once again, we appreciate you so much, you taking the time this afternoon to be able to join with us as we look to God's word, because that's really all that matters in this life. There are so many things that we can spend our time and our energy and our efforts trying to get to and trying to attain, when all of that really just fails in comparison to what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you submit yourself to Christ, and when you become wholly his, completely his, in mind, in soul, in thought, and when you just completely submit to Christ, that's when you are able to just obey him, study his word, apply it to your life, and that's when you truly have fulfillment. So all those other things that we can try to look after, they're just secondary. You know, it's not even important. The one true thing that's important is heaven. And let us help you to get there. 308-9564, 308-9564. We will do whatever we can to help you. Please call in 308-9564, or you can text in your question. The text number is 725-9283. 725-9283.
Ben calls in today. Ben says, why are bad things going on in the world? But God says in Romans 8:28 that all things work for good. He says, explain Romans 8:28. Well, Ben, we know that you've been listening over the years, and we sure appreciate it. We hope that as we've been a help to you, as we've been able to pull the nuggets of treasure out of God's word. And likewise, I hope that again, the things that we'll share even today will be a help to you as well as our other listeners. Thanks so much for your question. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, in fact, I'll start in verse 27. The Bible says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And I think that helps to kind of give us the picture that he's talking about saints, or those who are sanctified. Yeah, that's Christians, those who are set apart. And then he says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You're saying, why are these bad things going on in the world? Well, because all things work together for good for those who love God. And so thus, what you'll see in many cases is that folks don't love God, because loving God looks a certain way. In the book of John, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandment, is what Jesus says. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if the world is keeping his commandments, then certainly they can expect all things to work together for good, right? Because the qualifier here in verse 28 is to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, those who are fulfilling his purpose. And what's clear, Ben, is that that's not the case in the world. Now, some other passages that may be helpful as you continue to study this subject is Matthew 5, verse 45, where the Bible talks about how that God, in his great mercy and kindness and in his justness, that he will allow the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. God allows the common things of life to happen to everybody, and he allows even the wicked to receive his blessings, like the sunshine. And so sometimes bad things happen simply because it's part of life, and God is allowing those things to happen. And then finally, if you consider Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, which lets us know that time and chance happens to us all. No one is above time and chance. And so sometimes what's going on is, the bad thing that may happen to us, or the bad thing that's happening in the world, it may just be our time. It may just be by chance this is happening, and I'm caught up in it. And so those are other passages that gives us a snapshot as to perhaps why these bad things are happening in the world. Ben, we sure hope that's been a help to you. Those passages, again, for our listeners, is Romans chapter 8, verse 27 and 28, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, and Ecclesiastes 9, verses 11 and 12. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, if you have a question like Ben. We'll do our best to answer your question here on the air. If you want to come or go live on the air to ask your question, you can do that as well. Just let the operator on the phone know that that's what you want to do. Or he can write down your question, and it can be brought into us, and we will read it on the air. 308-9564 is the number to call. If you prefer to text in your question, you can. That text line is 725-9283. And we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
We're going to answer the second part of this text question in just a second. But first, I want to address Sam called in this question about something I've absolutely never heard of before. And he says he heard of something called umption of the Holy Spirit. And he's asking, what does it mean? Sam, I have absolutely no earthly nor heavenly idea what that means. And it's not in the scriptures as far as I know. I did a quick search, and just off of past memory, as well as the searches that I did while we were waiting, I have no idea what that is. So if you could possibly give a scripture reference or something to clarify that, but I just, there's nothing we can answer on that without some clarity. So I apologize about that. The second part of that text question asked about why do people wear white garments when they're baptized. Well, that's actually something else that the scriptures just do not mention. as far as when people are baptized, the only white garments that are mentioned, I believe, are in Revelation, where those who have endured, they are clothed in white robes. I believe that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. And so we see that there. But as far as white robes while being baptized, that's not, we don't see that in the scriptures. And I know that's a common practice with a lot of people today. But as far as being baptized, what matters when you're baptized is your heart. that's what matters. And as far as what you put on when you're baptized, well, the clothes that you put on don't really matter. It's spiritually what you put on. I believe Colossians 3 talks about put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Galatians chapter 3 towards the end talks about when we have been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And 1 Peter 3:21 talks about the baptism, saying it is the answer of a good conscience towards God. And so it's the submissive act of water immersion that shows that faith towards God, shows that submission and that love towards God. And so that's what we see in baptism. But as far as specific garments to wear during baptism, that's just, we don't see anything of that in the scriptures. We do have a live caller by the name of Lakeisha. I believe you are there, Lakeisha.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, Lakeisha. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
How can we help you?
I was enjoying your broadcast.
That's great.
On my break. And I just heard what you said about the unction of the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Okay, yes, sir. Because I'm on a phone, I couldn't actually search it to give you the scripture. But it is the Bible. He said that we have, he said basically, you have an unction of the Spirit, whereas no man can teach you.
Lakeisha,
what is he saying?
Just a second, Lakeisha. Can I get you to turn your radio down a little bit? We're hearing a bit of an echo.
My bad. All right. Is that better, sir?
Okay, yes. You're clearer now.
I'm sorry. What he was talking about is that, okay, there are things that, of course, we get from teachers, pastors, and apostles, but a good bit of our teaching, majority of our teaching, will come through the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. When he said that you know, if no man can teach you, he said, even if you don't have someone there to teach you something, you have an unction, which is the Holy Ghost, that will lead you and guide you. And what he was teaching us is that a lot of times people will only repeat what man says, but God wants us to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that even if it's something we're not sure of, the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us and guide us into all truth. He never talks of himself, but he will always magnify the word of God and tell us what the Father is saying. So what I believe the gentleman was saying, he wants to know more about the Holy Ghost, and what he has to do is continue to submit to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Even when you was talking about in Romans, the 8th chapter, which I love that chapter, when he was saying there are times we don't know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit will make the intercession with moanings and groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times when we'll fall into prayer. We don't even know what to say. And God is like, that's exactly where I want you at. I don't want you to talk. I want the spirit man to talk. Let me talk to your spirit, because after I speak to your spirit, you will get the revelation of what is being said through tongues. So I assure you, the unction of the Spirit is in the Word of God. And what I love about this is that we're talking about the Holy Spirit, because a lot of people don't even preach on the Holy Ghost anymore. And this day and time, we need the Holy Spirit. My pastor used to say all the time, we came across the street or drive down the street without the Holy Spirit, because he is ever waiting to tell us things. He's such a perfect gentleman. He will not force himself on you.
Okay.
But he's there to lead us and guide us into all truth, and that's what we know God wants us to do, is to walk in the truth and be the truth.
Okay, Lakeisha. So I saw someone just texted me about the word. I think I was, the person asked the question differently. They said I thought it was umption. It was spelled UMP, but unction, UNCTION. I did see that in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 20, and it is kind of, I see what you're mentioning there, how it says in 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And so that word unction means anointing. That's what the different translations have the word. Instead of unction, it uses the word anointing. So So yes. It's just
and
he
then
just,
you
he
have
just
another translation that would say you have the leading, you have the guiding of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That,
okay.
You know,
so
you don't need to be not, and this is not to negate our pastors, apostles, and everyone, and people need to understand it because you know he says, "Do not forsake the assembling of this, of yourselves together, as the custom of some people are." Because he said he will give us pastors after his heart that will feed us with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But what this scripture passage is talking about, going beyond that. Because, you know, some people, when they go to church, that's it. But God is saying, I want you to come unto me every day. I want you to get alone with me. And let me reveal to you divine secrets through the Holy Spirit. Things that you did not know of. God is so ready to pour into our spirit. But people need to spend more time in the Word. They need to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. I think times okay. We spend more time listening to people, and we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure you gentlemen can agree. Got to get back to interceding in the Holy Spirit.
What we see in the Scripture is that, and I know you would agree with this, is that the Scriptures is provided by the Holy Spirit. You know, passages like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. And thus, to get back into the Spirit really is to get into the Word. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
And so the way that we are guided or led by the Spirit is to do the things that the Spirit says. And so what has happened, unfortunately, is folks have gotten away from the Word so that they're not doing what the Spirit says.
That's right. Okay, because God and His Word are one and the same.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We sure appreciate that. You've
thank
given
God
us
bless you.
Given us quite a bit to think about, and so we appreciate that.
All right. You guys have a blessed one.
You too.
Right. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And just want to, again, highlight, some of the things our caller said, and that is, A, we can't listen to man. B, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in His Word. And the way he does that is, the more God's Word we take in, the more of His Word that we obey, the more we can understand and learn from the Spirit. And so when we dismiss the Word, when we reject the Word, when we're just listening to man, then we're not going to be able to do God's will. Now, that passage in First John, he was talking to people during a time where they did not have the Bible like you and I have. Certainly they got the Spirit and the Spirit was guiding them, but they didn't have this written word that was given from the Spirit. We have the written word given from the Spirit. There is no excuse for any of us not to submit to the will of God as it's been revealed by His Spirit. And so that's the purpose of this broadcast. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage you to hear the Spirit. And the way we do that is by getting into God's Word and allowing God's Word to lead us, to guide us, certainly to put us on the path of righteousness, if we will allow it. And so this is a lot to think about, a lot to chew on. We do appreciate your good attention today. It's time for us to take another break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564. If you wish to text us while we're at break, you can text in your question at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for joining us back on the other side of the break. We are live here. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. 308-9564. We also have a text line available. The text line is 725-9283. 725-9283. We want to just extend our thanks to those listening, and we appreciate you listening, those who listen consistently, those who call in with your questions. Many times when you call in with a question, it is the same question that other people have had as well. So we just want you to be aware of that. It is good. When you think of something, go ahead, call it in, text it in, because there are likely hundreds probably of others, or at least dozens and dozens of others who have the same question or similar question. So you will be helping them and being able to do that. So we appreciate that. Go ahead and call in your question. The lines are available, 308-9564, 308-9564, as well as the text line is available at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in. It says, is Satan and Lucifer the same person? We sure appreciate your question. When we go to the scriptures, that's not what we see. In fact, it's something that's been taught. And it almost goes back to what our previous caller said, that man will say some things, and it may not be true. And even, you know, when we're well-meaning and we're thinking we're teaching the Bible, that may not be true. We have to go to the Word, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit speak. And just a side note, if there's ever a time that I draw a conclusion about something and it differs than what the Word says, then I have to conclude that that did not come from the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't contradict himself. So whatever it is I'm going to conclude the Spirit is saying, it has to be in line with what his Word says. It has to be in harmony. You can't make the Spirit contradict himself. So one of the things that's taught out there is that Lucifer is Satan, yet the Bible teaches something different. Now, in the book of Isaiah, we'll notice this. Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah the 14th chapter, this is where you find that reference to Lucifer. In verse 12, it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yet God says in verse 15, "You shall be brought down to Sheol," which is the idea of the grave or the pit, "to the lowest part, the lowest depth of the pit." And I can understand why, in just reading this section, it sounds like he's talking about the devil. It sounds like he's talking about Satan. It sounds like that. But this piece of scripture is part of a larger text. And so we have to read the larger text to understand what we call the context. Who is he talking about? So you go back all the way up to verse 4, where this text begins. All right, it actually begins in verse 1, but in verse 4, he gives us who he's talking about. And it says, well, let me start in verse 3. "It shall come to pass in the day of the Lord, it shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say." And so everything that follows is this proverb that is against the king of Babylon. Yeah, so he's talking about the king of Babylon. He's not talking about Satan. And the context bears that out. And that's why it's so important for us to get back to the Word of God. I really appreciate the texter texting this question. Genuine, sincere question, good question for us. And again, we listen to what the Spirit says in his Word. 308-9564 is the number to call, 308-9564, and we will do our best to let the Bible speak. If you want to text in your question, you can. That text number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We have a caller, Lily, calling in this question. Lily, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Lily's question asks the difference between grace and mercy. Well, Lily, that's a good question, and it's definitely something that you hear throughout your studies of the Word, and something you see throughout the studies of the Word, of grace being mentioned and mercy being mentioned. And they're mentioned a lot, and they would seem to have this close relationship, and they do. Grace, the word grace actually means, you know, goodwill or loving kindness or favor. And the grace in terms of the way that God gives grace, grace is this undeserved gift, this unmerited favor. So it's not only grace is not only a gift, but it's a gift you don't deserve. And in the sense of God, it's actually gifts that you're given that you don't only do not deserve the gift, you actually deserve punishment. But instead of getting the punishment you earn, he gives you a gift that you didn't deserve. So that's the idea of what grace is. And mercy is similar in meaning, but kind of the opposite, whereas mercy is not giving you the punishment that you do deserve. And so he holds back on that. And so we get the grace, the gift that we don't deserve, and he holds back on the wrath that we do deserve. You know, this idea of mercy that God gives us, he gives us this mercy that he is patient. His patience is a part of his mercy. the fact that when we sin, the wages of sin is death. So when we sin, we earn death. We deserve death. But God is patient and he is able to hold back his wrath that we deserve because of our sin. And the fact that he does that, that proves his mercy. So they're similar but different. Grace is giving us a good thing we don't deserve, and mercy is holding back the punishment we do deserve. Lily, thank you so much for that question. Well, I should probably give you some scriptures to help you with that at first. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 is what you could look at to kind of to see grace. And as far as mercy, there you could a couple of verses in Romans here that I kind of just did a quick search as far as what that would be. And, you know, Romans chapter 11, kind of verses 30, 31, 32. So that's a good context for you as far as the mercy. So thank you so much, Lily, for that question. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, as well as the text line we have available, 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have another text coming in. Interesting text question, and I'm not sure I have a good answer for it, and so I apologize for that. The text question has to do with political, or being political, or politics, I guess would be the idea. And it has to do with, you know, as a child of God, you know, is it possible to serve the Lord and not be political involved? And the unfortunate truth is I can take this question a lot of different ways. If we're talking about politics on the job, then, you know, that has one idea, one meaning. If we're just talking about as it pertains to our government, then that has a different meaning. The word political, literally defined, according to Google, so don't hold that against me, says, relating to the government or the public affairs of a country. It says, of or relating to the ideas or strategies of a particular party or group in politics. And then it says interested in or active in politics. And so I'm assuming you're talking about that side of political or politics, and that is part of our government. And, you know, you're asking, you know, can a person be able to serve the Lord and not be politically involved? And I think a person has to make that decision for themselves. There are passages of scripture, certainly, that tells us to respect and to honor government, and so, you know, we have to do what's appropriate in that setting. But there's nothing where God tells me I have to vote. There's nothing where God tells me I have to get involved in politics. There's nothing where God tells me I have to. You know, there's just nothing in the scripture that says that. So a few passages that may be helpful. It's just really around giving honor to the government or respecting the authority. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Here, when you continue reading this text, it's really about submission to the government authority. There's another passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2, that talks about making prayer, you know, for those who are leading. In verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and reverence. And so it may be that you choose to participate so that you can fulfill this passage, trying to put the right person in place. But again, you know, if we're talking about God says you have to do, you know, you have to vote, you have to participate in politics, that's just not in the Bible. And so you'll have to make that decision for yourself based upon, you know, other scriptures like these, principal scriptures to aid you in that. I'm sorry that I'm not able to help you further than that. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. It is time for us to take a break. But even while we're at break, you can call in your question. 308-9564. I think we've had good questions come in thus far, and we do appreciate that. Feel free to text in your question at 725-9283. We'll be right back. 308-9564 is the number to call here at the station. Don't forget to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course that's available to you, 553-5157. This is a Bible study that you can do in your home at your own pace. We make mention of this week after week. Why? Because the truth be known, we all need a little bit of help in our study of God's Word. And that's what this is. It's just a tool to help us. It's not designed to replace God's Word. In fact, you can think of it almost as starter fluid. Sometimes we need a little starter fluid to get us going. If you're like me, you know, I'll talk about what I'm going to do. And, you know, sometimes I just don't get around to that thing. And all it takes is someone come by and says, hey, let's go do such and such. And it's the same thing that I said I was going to do. But now that I have that little extra push, I go ahead and get started. The Bible Correspondence Course is a means for you to be able to get started in a Bible study in your home at your own pace to get you back in the Word of God. And so it's not our intent to indoctrinate at all. There are questions and there are scriptures. You read the scriptures, you answer the question. I mean, you just can't beat that. It's absolutely free of charge. If this is something that you're interested in doing to help you increase your knowledge of the things of God, we encourage you to go ahead and sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. Again, that number is 553-5157. If you're interested in the list that we mentioned earlier, a list of questions that you can ask your preacher, you know, questions that will be challenging to you, challenging to them, then we'll provide that list for you. We have a list of questions, and they're scriptures, so you can go and you can do the work yourself. You go look and see what the Bible says. And so in that respect, we're not driving what you believe. We're not trying to nudge you in one direction or the other. You read the scriptures and do what God says. You let the Holy Spirit, through the Word, lead you and guide you. That's our encouragement. And so that's something that you're interested in, that list of questions that you can ask your preacher. Then also call the 553-5157 number and specifically say, I want the questions about that I can ask my preacher, and we will send that to you as well. To call in your questions here right now and to join this discussion by way of providing us with questions we can answer from God's Word, go ahead and call 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283.
We have Elizabeth calling in this question. Elizabeth, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast, and we appreciate you calling in your question. Elizabeth's question says, if we are a member of Christ's church, shouldn't all these churches be practicing the same thing? Well, that's a very fair assessment, I would say, Elizabeth. But if we just, you know, look at the scriptures, we can definitely see that is that was God's will. We see in First Corinthians chapter 1, there was a problem with division there in the church in Corinth. If you look at the letter to the church in Corinth, the first letter to the church in Corinth, we see there was a lot of issues going on in that group of believers. But that's why the Holy Spirit used Paul to deal with those issues by writing writing these letters to them. And in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, he says in verse 10, now I plead with you, brethren. So he's not asking, he's saying, I plead with you, do this. Brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that phrase, by the name of, means by the authority of. So by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So that looks like it answers the question pretty straightforward, Elizabeth. Yes, Christ does expect his churches to be practicing the same things. And so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Also, there's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I alluded to that earlier. In the first part of those chapter, verses 4 through 6 of Ephesians, there's unity. It's talking about the unity. In verse 4, it says there is one body. And so that one body, once again, we notice the body is the body of Christ. Christ's body is his church. And then also we look at in 1 Corinthians, you can actually look at chapters 11 through 14. Chapters 11 through 14 of 1 Corinthians all talk about what God expects us to be doing as far as worship and how that's what's concerned in that. And so that's chapters 11 through 14 of 1 Corinthians. Also, we mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Ephesians 4, chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6. And also, we can look at the seven churches in Asia, those letters in Revelations chapter 2 through 3. You will see a common theme in six out of the seven churches. When they God says, you know, I know your works. And when they were doing something wrong, he told them all the same thing, repent. And so God expects the group, the church, the group of believers, that if they're practicing something wrong, they need to repent or turn away, stop doing that thing and do the will of the Lord, obey the will of the Lord. So thank you so, so very much, Elizabeth, for that question. We appreciate that. 308-9564 to reach us here at the station. 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have another text question coming in, and the question is about difference between hell and Hades, and is there a difference between the two? And so what you'll find, depending upon your translation, is sometimes you'll find the word translated in a particular text as hell, H-E-L-L, or you'll find the word translated as Hades, H-A-D-E-S. Sometimes Hades is used, and sometimes hell is used consistently. Why is that? Well, in fact, depending upon the passage, you have two, sometimes two, possibly more, different Greek words that's translated. So the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. And so depending upon whether you're reading the Old Testament or New Testament, the Hebrew or Greek word can mean something different. If you're reading from the King James, just the standard King James translation, you find the word hell used consistently. But as you get into your newer translations, what you'll find is sometimes hell and sometimes Hades. So, for example, and I just grabbed two passages out of the blue, Matthew 23 and verse 15, the word hell is at least translated in the King James. But the word that's translated there really refers to this place called Gehenna. That's a Greek word, Gehenna, hell. And it is the place of torment or future torment. So in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, where Jesus is speaking a series of woes to the Pharisees, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell," there's our word, "as yourself." And he says you're making him, you know, you're putting him in a place of torment. You're setting him for this place of eternal damnation. So that's the word that's translated there. But if you look in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, a different word is translated to refer to Hades. And I use a New King James translation, and sure enough, it translates the word hell that's translated in the King James as Hades in this translation. And verse 23, talking about the rich man and Lazarus, this rich man dies, Lazarus dies, Lazarus goes into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, the Bible says in verse 23, being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So this rich man is in Hades, and a lot of your translations may say hell, but there's a different Greek word. And that Greek word is the Greek word Hades, and that's where we get our English word Hades from. And it refers to essentially the underworld, the place where the spirit goes after death, the grave in essence. And so certainly two different words to refer to two different places. Very good question. I hope that's been helpful to you. Matthew 23 and verse 15, the word literally hell, which is again the place of damnation, Gehenna, torment. And then Luke chapter 16, verse 23 is talking about the underworld, the grave, the place of this where the spirit departs. I hope that's been helpful. 308-9564 is the number to call here at the station. We'll go ahead and take our next break, but while we're at break, you can call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text us your question at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We'll be right back. 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, go ahead and call 553-5157. Take advantage of that tool to help you in your study of God's Word. Also, we got a call that came in here at the station, where someone was looking to where would they get the questions to ask their pastor or their preacher. You can call that same number, 553-5157, and just leave your information. We will your name, your address, and we will send that to you in the mail. Again, that's 553-5157. So that's something that you're interested in. Please take advantage of it. Go ahead and call in your questions now. It's about 2:30. We've got maybe just about 30 minutes left in today's broadcast. So go ahead and get your questions in as soon as possible. 308-9564 is the number to call. 308-9564. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283.
We have Sam calling in this question about 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, asking about God understanding the imagination of our thoughts. And so just kind of like what Sam was saying when I asked about the unction. And so just like that, it's another translation type question that we have to recognize. The differences in translation may cause a little bit of a hesitance on this. But instead of imagination, most other translations that I'm seeing uses a different word. And so I'll read it from the New King James, and we'll see that it might be a little bit easier to understand. So once again, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. And I'll be the first to admit I'm not a whole lot understanding of this entire context, but I think the verse itself kind of bears it out pretty easily. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, it says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." So once again, it seems like that the verse is seems to be pretty straightforward about what the command is, saying, remember the God of your father. You should serve him, he says, with two things, with a loyal heart and a willing mind. And so those two things are absolutely necessary in serving God. And the word, instead of using imaginations, this translation uses intent. And so the word intent versus imagination kind of would mean different things. And so, and as far as intent is, you know, what you're planning to do or what you will to do. And, you know, so that kind of the idea of what intent carries with it. So you're planning on doing something, you want to do something, you're trying to make moves to make it happen. And so those are your intents. And so as far as serving him with a loyal heart and a willing mind, well, that's why it's so important to serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind, because the Lord knows and he understands our hearts and the intent of our thoughts. And so he knows that if we're thinking of you know, living in sin, or that we're thinking of a sin that we want to commit versus actually serving him by obeying him and loving him, well, then the Lord knows that. We can't hide anything from God. There's no secrets from God. So that's kind of what the idea of what this is talking about here. For the Lord searches all hearts. The Lord knows the hearts. You know, we can put up a big front and a nice act and a facade in front of people, but the Lord knows the hearts. The Lord knows what's true, no matter how much you're acting or anything like that. And so that seems to be the point of this verse. And so just kind of reminding us that we need to follow God, serve God, and it must be in truth. It can't be fake, can't be false, because the Lord definitely knows. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intents. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about the sword of the spirit, which is even a cut between the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. So once again, the sword of the spirit does that. That's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. So thank you, Sam, so much. Oh, Nick, you had something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I took a quick peek at the Hebrew. You may remember I made mention from a previous question that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew and also Aramaic. I believe two books, Daniel and Ezekiel, were written in Aramaic. But you look at the Hebrew here, and what you'll find for this word imagination, it's the word form or framing or purpose. And I like the idea of purpose, which really ties in well with the idea of intent. That's what God is able to see. And so, you know, again, the newer translations are spot on with this idea that God is able to see you know, what's forming in our mind. That's why it says form or framing. It's what's forming in our mind that God is able to see. He's able to see the purpose, you know, what we are actually planning or thinking, and the way we're thinking about a thing and the way we even are drawing our conclusion. That God has that ability to see those pieces and parts. So I thought that might be helpful.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much, Sam. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Please go ahead and do that. Also, I just want to make another reminder of our website. Our website, www.biblealone.com. Eventually, we will have the list of questions to ask your preacher on that website, but we're still going to be working on that within the coming weeks. But right now, there are plenty of other free materials on the website where you can go to and download those studies and look at them. And there's so many things of what we feel that we've gotten over the years as fairly consistent in questions and type of things on the website. It's about tithing and about the Lord's Supper and about baptism. And so some of the subjects that some people may have had a little bit harder understanding on. And so we have studies on there to help you with those things. And we greatly encourage you to check that out. Once again, everything is absolutely free. We don't charge anything. We just encourage you to continue to grow in the Lord and in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's just our desire to help you in that. And that's why we want to, like I said earlier, we want to get in front of you. We want to meet you. We want to be able to talk with you face to face and continue to help you to grow in God's word and know you better. And so it is our desire to do that. So if you would like to have a Let the Bible Speak in your home where you can gather together, you know, whatever kind of friends and family members you may have, you know, be like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He had gathered together friends and relatives to come hear the word of God. So if we can do that, we would greatly enjoy that, just to kind of get in front of you and be able to come in and talk about the things of God. So if you're interested in that, please go ahead and let us know that when you leave your information, when you dial 553-5157, we would be honored to meet you face to face and to help you with that. But while we are here at the station, please go ahead, take advantage of the opportunity. Call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have another text question coming in. It says, what does the Bible mean, the house of Judah? Well, that's an interesting question. In fact, that's probably not a question that we've had on the broadcast. So we do appreciate that question. And I think also our listeners will find this fascinating. When you look in the Old Testament, what you'll see is that you have kind of the history of the Jews. And, you know, we are pretty much all, I think, for the most part, we're familiar with Abraham. Someone says Abraham, and in general, we can associate with that name. Abraham would have a son, Isaac, and Isaac would have a son, Jacob. Now, of course, they had more sons, but the key sons that would lead ultimately to Christ was Isaac and Jacob. Jacob would have 12 sons. Jacob's name would later be changed to Israel. And thus, those who came out of the loins of Jacob, that is to say, his descendants, those that would be in his family tree, would be considered the children of Israel, his descendants. Now, of Jacob's 12 sons, one would be named Judah. And, of course, he had other sons, you know, like Joseph. But Judah becomes important because you would have these 12 sons turn into, for the most part, they turn into tribes. Judah would be the tribe that Jesus would come through. Now, something happens after the United Kingdom of Israel divides. So there's a period of kings. The first king over Israel as a united kingdom is Saul. Saul is the first king. Then Saul dies, and then David takes over as the second king. And then when David leaves the throne, Solomon becomes the third king over the United Kingdom of Israel. Now, sometime after Solomon leaves the throne or is removed from the throne by God, the kingdom will split into two. And so those 12 tribes, if you will, will divide into two separate kingdoms. Up north, you have the northern kingdom of Israel. Down south, you have the southern kingdom of Judah. And what happens to the northern kingdom? They go into Assyrian captivity. They never come out. What happens to the southern kingdom? The southern kingdom, they also go into captivity, Babylonian captivity. But because this was going to be the tribe that which Jesus was going to come out of, they're able to return from captivity. I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, that God said that they would be able to return from captivity. That's Jeremiah 29, verse 10. And so this house of Judah really is talking about, again, that group which would become, if you will, Israel, if you will, God's people, the ones that would return from captivity because they would serve as the remainder or the remnant of what would come out of captivity to bring about God's promise, fulfillment of God's promise. So, again, a very interesting question. We had a little bit of time, so I went into probably greater detail than I would under normal circumstances. But that's the house of Judah. It's making reference to, again, still God's people in the Old Testament, that people that survived captivity because God made a promise to bring about Jesus Christ through that tribe. And incidentally, the tribe of Judah was composed of two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And so I hope that's been helpful to you. But very, very good question. And again, if you have time to study the Old Testament, you'll find that it is rich with information that is useful from this perspective. The Old Testament tells us that Jesus is coming. And so we want to get in there and see all these different prophecies, all these different things that says, here comes the Messiah. Here comes, Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us Jesus is here. And then from Acts through Revelation, we have the message of Jesus is coming again. It's time for us to take another break. This is our final break. We sure hope that the things that we've shared thus far has been a help to you. Don't forget to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course. That's free of charge. That's available to you. Again, to get that, we're going to tell you a little bit about that, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the number, 553-5157. You can sign up for that. You can also ask or leave a message on that same line for the list of questions to ask your preacher. Again, that's 553-5157. Just make sure you specify, I want the list of questions to ask my preacher, or I would like an in-home Bible study, or I would like the Bible Correspondence course. If you specify, you can say, I want all three. So it's all free, and we would send that to you in the mail. Again, anything that we can do to help you, that's our goal. While we're at break, you can go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564, 308-9564, or feel free to text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
This is indeed our last segment. We encourage you, if you have been waiting, to do not wait any longer. Why dost thou tarry? Call in your question, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will be more than happy to let God's word speak to the answer to the question that are on your heart and on your mind. Once again, this is our last segment, so please go ahead and call. We would be honored to continue to help you in whatever you need help in. And, far too often there's times that there are people that call in towards the end of the broadcast that, they were waiting and waiting. And the next thing you know, it's almost 3 o'clock and they don't call, or they call and they just don't get their question answered. So to avoid that, and so we won't have to try to get your question answered next week and we can get it done in this broadcast. Do not wait any longer. The lines are available. The lines are open. And you can call in your question at 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Robert calling in today. Robert, we sure appreciate your call. And I think, Robert, you listened to the broadcast as well over the years. We do appreciate that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, he has a question. It says, don't put out the Spirit. He says, explain. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is what we would refer to as the last chapter, as Paul's writing his first letter to the Christians there at Thessalonica. And so in this last chapter, he's specifically in this area, somewhere around verse 16 and following, he's giving them what we might call one-liners of things that they need to do. And verse 16, he says, rejoice always. Verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then in verse 19, he says, do not quench the spirit. And that word quench does carry the idea to put out, right? And so the Spirit of God is living, is active. And so you might ask yourself the question, how might a person put out the Spirit of God? Well, God sent the Spirit to do something very specific, and that was to provide truth. And I think sometimes we think, well, the Spirit's going to come to me, and it's going to tell me what to do, and it's going to lead my life and how I go to the store and how I wash the car. And that's not what the Bible says. If we look at John, the 14th chapter, and in John chapter 14, you find Jesus talking to his apostles. And this is very specific to his apostles. He says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you apostles, another helper. The idea that that's what Jesus was there for, and he was going to send another helper. And he says that he may abide with you forever. He says in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. So Jesus was promising his disciples that he was going to send them the Spirit, another, that was going to be a helper for them. In chapter 15 of John, in verse 26, but when the helper comes, whom I will send to you, some translation says the comforter, he says, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is promising to send them the Spirit. For what purpose? Chapter 16 of John. John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Well, the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles in Acts chapter 2. So that happened. He did come to guide them into all truth. Jesus reaffirms this prior to his ascension in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where he tells them that they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This Spirit comes, this Spirit guides them into all truth, and now these apostles are able to go out and teach the message. Remember, the Bible didn't exist during that time period. And so the method or the way God was communicating his word was through these apostles by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, these apostles did something so unique and awesome. They took what they had received from the Spirit, and certainly they told it to Christians. But in the early church, they began to do something. They began to write it down. In Ephesians chapter 3, in Ephesians the third chapter, Paul says in verse 3, how that by revelation, that word just means revealing, he, talking about God, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. Paul says, God revealed this mystery. I wrote it down. Verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed, he says, by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And so what you have is God revealing this truth. They wrote it down, and they gave it to folks, and those folks were supposed to obey that. And even though they were hearing the words of the apostles, or they were reading the words of the apostles, certainly they were hearing and reading the words of the Holy Spirit. And to hear the word of the Holy Spirit, certainly you were hearing or reading the words of Jesus. And to hear and read the word of Jesus, certainly you were hearing and reading the word of God. And when I dismiss that, when I dismiss the word of God, I am putting the Spirit out. I'm quenching its power. In Ephesians 6, and I made reference to this earlier, Ephesians 6, 17, the Bible refers to the Word as the sword of the Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit works on our heart, through the Word. And so when I reject the Word, when I reject the Scriptures, I'm rejecting the Spirit. When I look at the Bible as just a book, it's just another book, and you just read it, and if you take what you like and reject what you don't, then I've just quenched, I've put the power out of the Word. Romans 1:16, Paul talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. He says that it is the power of God and the salvation. The gospel, he says, the good news is the power of God and the salvation. Who delivers that power? Yeah, it came by the way of the Holy Spirit. And when I reject the gospel, I am quenching the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a point blank question. Have you been face to face with God's truth out of his word and rejected it? Then you've quenched the Spirit of God. You've rejected his final messenger. You've rejected the final message. We don't want to do that. We want to be open to hearing God's word as powered, if you will, by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why this program exists, to go into God's word, to hear it, and allow God's Spirit, the sword, the Spirit uses sword to work on our hearts. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
And most definitely, we recognize something about the gospel, and the verse that he just mentioned in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says the power of God to those who believe. And so if you, just like he was mentioned, if you look at the word and you choose not to believe it, you know, you choose to say, well, hey, you know, I don't believe that. That verse doesn't mean what it says. I don't believe that. Well, then you're telling God that, you know, he doesn't mean what he says. You know, in Genesis, in the beginning, when God spoke and said, let there be light, well, do you think he meant, you know, let there be darkness? Well, no, he said, let there be light. He meant, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. So when God says something, he means it. And we most definitely should be able to have faith in that and recognizing that. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are, the things which are seen were made with things that are unseen. And so, you know, understand that God created the world. And we have to recognize that, you know, like Romans 10:17, by faith, hearing by the word of God. And so we allow our faith to be grounded in the foundation of our faith to be from the word of God. And so what God's word does is it shows us what he wants us to do. See, in the Old Testament, when God spoke directly to people, that would he allowed that to happen. And so in these last days, in Hebrews chapter 1 talks about how in these last days he speaks to us by his son. And his son spoke to us by his apostles, and his apostles wrote that word down. And you know what? Since they wrote that word down, well, then guess what? We can always go right back to it. They didn't have video recorders back then, so when they were speaking the word, somebody could just take out their camera phone. And, you know, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching the gospel, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then nobody, they couldn't share that. They couldn't tweet that. So they had to teach those things. And we continue to go on. It continued in the apostles' doctrine. And so they continued in the preaching and the teaching of what the apostles taught. And so when Peter was telling those people that, you know, you must repent, turn away from your old wicked lifestyles. Well, you know, he preached that gospel message about Jesus, this same Jesus who you crucified as both Lord and Christ. He is ruler. He is Messiah. He is the one. He is where life exists. In him, all things exist. He is eternal life. We see that in 1 John. 1 John in chapter 1 calls him eternal life, because that's where it is. You can't get eternal life if you're not in Christ. We must be in Christ. Christ is where it's at. And so we continue to just encourage you to continue to grow in the word. Find out what God's word says. You know, you can't listen to this pastor or that pastor. Can't listen to mama or daddy. Can't listen to grandmama or granddaddy. We can't listen to those people. We must listen to God's word. Can't listen to two guys on the radio talking all kind of stuff. You have to go back to the word to look. And which is why we give you book, chapter, and verse, so you can go back and check it out. We don't know anything, nor do we pretend to know everything, because no one does. But I tell you what I do know. I do know that we can always go back to the scriptures. And you know what the funny thing is? Those scriptures will say the exact same thing time and time again, without question. So please go ahead. The time is up for us today, but we still have the line available to the 553-5157 number where you can do one of three things or all three. You can request a list of the Go Ask Your Preachers. You can request the in-home Bible study, or you can request the Bible Correspondence Course, or you can request any combination of those three things. And we encourage you to do all that. Please join us again next week as we let the Bible speak.